And we're reading now from the next chapter in the book of Job, chapter 28, continuation, as I've said, of Job's response to Bildad. And there's even more following in the next few chapters, but this evening we'll look at chapter 28. So Job chapter 28, if you have a church or pew Bible, you should find it on page 529, page 529. Job 28, reading verse 1. There is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft, in places forgotten by the foot of man. Far from men, he dangles and sways. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of mountains. He tunnels through the rock. He sees all its treasures. He searches the sources of the rivers and brings hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And shun evil is understanding. That's our main text. We'll go through the whole chapter, but that's the main text I'd really like you to take away with you. And he said, as God said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and shun evil is understanding. Well, I think you probably realise easily enough what the main theme of this chapter is. It's not too hard to spot or to make out. It's really in the form of a question, a very important question. Where can wisdom be found? Where can wisdom be found? The deepest wisdom, spiritual wisdom, the wisdom that we really need to find. I'm sure you would agree you all want to be wise. That's what we'd all want. You'd want to be thought wise. You wouldn't want to be thought a fool. But you know, it's easy to be foolish, and it's not always easy to find wisdom. Job is here, I think, implying such wisdom is not being imparted by his counselors, despite their confidence. They're not providing him with any wisdom. And he's asking the question, where can wisdom be found? Sure, there are many answers that people would give to this. In the ancient world, one of the most popular answers was, consult the oracle. You've heard that expression, I'm sure. Consult the oracle. Go to the oracle at Delphi, a pagan shrine, which was supposed to impart prophetic words and wisdom to those who went there. That, of course, was just really superstition, false religion. Another very popular answer in the ancient world was, go to the philosophers. There were many in Greece who would travel long distances to sit at the feet or to follow around Socrates, noted for his philosophical wisdom. And it was recommended, if you want to be wise, go and find a wise man, a philosopher, who will be able to teach you the ways of wisdom. That's not really the answer either. Perhaps nowadays, young people, you might tend to think, well, go to a good college, go to a good university, and there you will find wisdom. Well, you'll certainly find knowledge. You'll certainly find valuable instruction that will be of use to you in your life. But will you find the kind of wisdom that is spoken about here by Job? There have in fact been many, many suggestions as to how you and I can find wisdom. Here are four other very popular ones. I'm sure you've heard the name Confucius, haven't you? He was a heathen wise man or philosopher. He's often quoted. And he had something to say about wisdom and how to find it. Here's what he wrote. By three methods we may gain wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is the easiest. And third, by experience, which is bitterest. Reflection, well, there's value in that, all right. Imitation, well, yes, it's good to imitate good examples. Experience, yes, we can learn things from experience. But that's not really the key to the deep and true kind of wisdom that's spoken about here in Job. Here's another suggestion. Edward Young, a great poet, wrote some very fine poetry. This one line from his poem that's well known. The man of wisdom is the man of years. Wisdom comes with age. You know the saying, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. But as I've said before, advancing in age is not necessarily a guarantee you will advance in wisdom. The other saying is, there's no fool like an old fool. No guarantee that as we go on in life, we will really, just by aging, gain wisdom. A modern mystic would tell you this. Here's where wisdom can be found, or how it can be found. Wisdom comes with the ability to be still. Just look and listen. No more is needed. Well, it's commendable to be a good listener, but that's not really the pathway to true spiritual wisdom, just by looking and listening. Well, who are you listening to? And who are you looking to? More is needed than that. Or one other from an ancient Greek playwright, whose name I won't attempt to pronounce, but he wrote, wisdom comes only through suffering. Wisdom comes only through suffering. Well, there's some truth in that, isn't there? In that we can often, you and I, I'm sure we could say this, we can often learn things through suffering that we don't learn through pleasure or prosperity. Suffering can make us think more deeply and reflect upon our lives. But suffering in and of itself is no guarantee that we'll find the deep and true kind of wisdom that Job speaks about here. Wisdom might, or suffering might just make you bitter, disillusioned, cynical. It might not give you any wisdom at all. So let's consider now what Job has to say, what answer he gives to this question. Where can wisdom be found? How can it be found? I want to divide it into three parts. The chapter does fall into three definite parts. The first one is this. It's introductory, really. It's a form of contrast. He's sort of saying, mankind, we as mankind, can find many valuable metals and precious stones by digging deep into the earth. And verses 1 to 11, that's really that's what that's all about. It's describing man's determination to lay his hands upon precious metals by digging down deep into the earth. Picture I have here is probably a 19th century coal mine, or probably is 19th century coal mine. But of course, even today, we dig deep down, don't we, in our search for valuable commodities. Amazing, isn't it, how mankind can even drill beneath the waters of the North Sea and other seas to find oil. Quite amazing. And even this modern technique of fracking, which of course not everyone approves of or thinks a good idea. That's another expression of man's search for precious metals, his determination to get his hands on them. Verse 4 highlights in a rather striking way how mankind's even willing to take risks, do that which is dangerous and risky in order to lay his hands upon these precious metals. Look at verse 4 here. It's quite a striking way to put it. In places forgotten by the foot of man, far from men, he dangles and sways, risking his life, risking his well-being, because he wants to get his hands upon these precious metals. Again, it says man is able to do this in contrast to the birds, even the ones with the sharpest vision, like the falcon. Look at verses 7 and 8 there. These metals are hidden from the falcon. The birds cannot see them. Or verse 8, even the most majestic of animals, such as the lion, does not have access to them. But by his ingenuity, by his determination, silver, gold, iron, copper, or sapphires, I think is pictured here. All these precious metals, these treasures, can be found by mankind. They can be brought to the surface. He can bring such hidden things, as verse 11 says, to light. So that's those first 11 verses. Job is simply describing in a very lyrical and poetic manner man's ability to find precious metals by digging down deep into the earth for them. And that's still happening today. But that's really to stand as a kind of contrast to what Job is going to say then in verses 12 to 19. Man may be able to find precious metals by digging down deep into the earth for them, but wisdom can't be found by this means, nor can it even be bought with the most precious of metals, the most precious of commodities. Verses 12 to 19. Let's look at this more closely. Look at verse 14, for example. Verse 14. He personifies here the depths, or the sea, far down. And he has the depths to say, no, wisdom, it's not in me. And he has the sea to say, no, it's not with me. You can go down into the depths. You can down under the sea. But you'll not find wisdom there. I have a picture here, don't I? It's trying to convey this idea. Here's a fella, and as if he's looking for wisdom. And there's all kinds of different directions he's looking in. But he can't find it. Doesn't know which way to go. Not even by digging deep down into the earth. Not even by going under the sea, into the very depths, can wisdom be found. More than that, if you would think to yourself, well, can I buy wisdom? Can I buy wisdom? I have these precious metals, these precious commodities. Maybe I can buy it for enough money. I could buy wisdom. Not so, says the Word of God. Not so, says the Book of Job. Wisdom cannot be bought with even the finest gold. Other precious metals and commodities are mentioned as well. You see, as you read down there, there are various precious metals mentioned, and none of them are able to. You can't use any of them to buy wisdom with. Especially the emphasis here is on gold, of course, the most precious, perhaps, of all. Do you notice how three times it's emphasised? You can't use gold to buy wisdom. Verse 16. Look at verse 16 for a moment. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir. What does that mean? Well, Ophir is first mentioned in the Bible way back in Genesis 10 when it seems to be the name of a person. It's in the list of names. Later on, in 1 Kings 9 and verse 28, it is said to be the source of much of Solomon's gold. You know that the kingdom under Solomon was very rich. It was blessed with prosperity. And there was gold everywhere. Well, he got a lot of his gold from this place called Ophir. In Psalm 45, verse 9, which we sing sometimes, the royal bride is said to be clothed in the gold of Ophir. She's the queen, going to be the queen. So she's going to put on the very best of gold. And so she's adorned with the gold of Ophir, the very finest, the very best gold you could find. We don't know where Ophir was. If I could tell you, you might be rushing out tonight to get on a plane. It's thought it might be somewhere in Arabia or somewhere in Africa, but it can't be located. Anyway, if there was all the gold that was there has probably long been taken by greedy hands. It wouldn't be there now even if you could find it, I doubt. Don't go searching for Ophir. But it's just saying here, this is the very finest gold. Most valuable of all. And there are other phrases that say the same. Not even the most valuable gold, the finest gold, can purchase you wisdom. Look at verse 17. This is poetic, so it's saying the same thing in a number of different ways. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Gold and jewels will not buy wisdom. Verse 19. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. So you see that three times over. No, not even the most precious of metals or commodities can be used to obtain this wisdom of which Job speaks. Of course, you and I are reminded in the Word of God, while gold may be a precious commodity, there are many things that it cannot buy you. It cannot buy you health. It cannot buy you forgiveness. It cannot buy you salvation. It cannot buy you heaven. Even if you had all the gold in Fort Knox, it couldn't buy you these precious things. Salvation is a free gift to anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And neither, as it says here, neither can gold buy you wisdom. So this is the second part here of this argument that Job is making. First of all, he said, men can find precious metals by digging down deep for them. But then secondly, he says, wisdom can't be found by digging deep into the earth, nor can it even be bought with the most precious of commodities. So then he comes to his conclusion, if you like. Verses 20 to 28. Where can it be found? Verses 20 to 28. Where can wisdom be found? The question is posed a second time as to where wisdom can be found. I've broken down this into seven parts, this concluding section, just to help you to grasp it. And the question is posed a second time as to where wisdom can be found. It was already posed earlier on, if you look back at verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? And now, once again, the question is repeated. That's the main focus of the chapter. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? And understanding there is really used as a parallel expression, an equivalent for wisdom. It's not speaking of something different. It's speaking of the same essential thing. Second point here in this section is no living thing can see where wisdom is located. Verse 21. No living thing can see where wisdom is located. Not even the birds of the air. You probably know the expression, having a bird's eye view. You know the expression? I had a bird's eye view of it, a good vantage point. The birds been up in the sky, many of them with very keen vision, the eagle or the falcon. They can see things very, very sharply. They can spot their prey very keenly, very clearly, even from a distance. But Job says here, not even the birds who have such a vantage point from high in the heavens, not even they can see where wisdom is located. And then thirdly, and again this is poetical of course, not even death, which is so powerful, can show us the way to wisdom. Verse 22, death is here spoken of in two different words used for it, but it's pointing to the one reality. And in verse 22, again, death is personified. Destruction and death say, only a rumour of it has reached our ears. That's really saying, not even death knows where wisdom is to be found, even though death is such a powerful thing. We'd have to agree about that. It is a powerful thing. Who can withstand it? Apart from the resurrection in Christ Jesus. We can't withstand it. But as it were, not even death can show you the way to wisdom. And then, of course, Job emphasizes in verse 23, God alone, I want you to note the word alone, God alone knows where wisdom dwells. Look at verse 23. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. So if you want to find wisdom, what do you do? No, you don't go to the philosopher. You don't go to the oracle, as it were. You don't look within, as some today are suggesting. You look to God. You ask him for it. You seek it from God. For he alone, only he, knows where wisdom can be found. Job reiterates this by referring to God's wisdom expressed in creation, verses 24 to 27. You'll also find a similar idea in the book of Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 31. There's a long statement there about how the wisdom of God is expressed in his work of creation. Here in the wind, in the waters, in the rain, in the thunderstorm, God shows his grasp of and understanding of wisdom in his creative power. And then we come to the real climax of Job's argument. Where or how can wisdom be found? Well, it comes from God. And how exactly does it come from him? Well, look at the last verse, the verse I want to draw your attention to now in closing. And he said to man, God has told man, he hasn't left us in ignorance. He hasn't left us to guess. He hasn't left us to try and grope our way toward wisdom. He's told us. And what has he told us? The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Here's where and how it may be found, in having an attitude of reverent acknowledgement and devotion to the Lord. This is something that's very striking in the light of how Job has described himself. We have to go all the way back. If you go all the way back to the opening chapter of the book of Job in both verse 1 and verse 8, it's said that Job is like this. Job is a man who fears the Lord. Job here is almost as if he's saying, look, you counselors, you think you're so wise. You think you're wise enough to understand what I'm suffering and why I'm suffering. But in fact, God has granted me wisdom because I reverence him. I fear him. The fear of the Lord is the key to wisdom, as spelled out, of course, in many other places in the Word of God. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Psalm 111, verse 10. We're going to be singing at the end of the worship service. And it spells it out very clearly. The one who fears the Lord has learnt the first of wisdom's ways. Psalm 111, verse 10. And the New Testament, stresses the same truth. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, that we're to perfect holiness out of reverence for God. Why are we to seek to live holy lives? Because we reverence God. We have an attitude of respect and we want to give him honour. And I do have to direct you as well, of course, to 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24. In that passage, Paul is speaking, he's contrasting the philosophers and the wise men of Greek society who claimed to be wise, but they didn't know the true and living God. And he says, of course, that Christ is wisdom, is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom from God. It's the man or the woman or the young person who trusts and believes in Jesus Christ. He's the one who has found the truest and deepest wisdom. You want to think of yourself as wise tonight. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to love him and be committed to serving him. In that way, you're reverencing the Lord God who sent him into this world to save sinners. There's something more here, but a little phrase we shouldn't overlook. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. It's saying here is an evidence, if you like, an outworking of reverencing God. That if you have the fear of the Lord, it'll be shown. How will it be shown? Well, of course, it's shown in worship, reverent worship. But it's also to be shown in shunning evil. That also, by the way, was said of Job. Job was a godly man. He feared the Lord and he shunned evil. That's how he's described at the opening of the book of Job. Think of that word, to shun. To shun. To avoid. To have nothing to do with it. To resist it. To stay away from it. So this evening, if you would think of yourself, and I trust you do think of yourself as a man or a woman or a young person who fears the Lord and reverences the Lord, then this should be seen in your life. And that you shun evil. Let me try and give a few examples of how you might be doing that. Let's say, young people, if you say you reverence the Lord, you have regard for the Lord, you trust him reverently. Do you shun evil? When others are taking the name of the Lord in vain? In your classroom? In the playground? In the schoolyard? When they're taking the name of the Lord in vain and treating his name with utter disrespect? Does that matter to you? Do you shun it? Are you tempted to join in? Or do you shun it? Do you say no to it? I'm not going to join in such mockery of the precious name of the Lord whom I love and revere. Others here this evening, do you shun evil? Other people around you, when they're speaking ill of God, when they're maybe making jokes, lewd jokes, do you shun that? You don't join in. You don't laugh at it. It's not funny. It's not funny to have the name of your precious Lord who has given his life for you. It's not funny to have jokes made about it. If you and I truly fear the Lord, they'll be aiming and striving by his strength and by his grace to shun evil and to love righteousness, love the way of truth, the way of purity, the way of holiness. Here then is the answer that this portion of the book of Job gives to where you may find wisdom. You won't find it by digging down deep under the earth. You may find coal, or maybe you might even come across some precious metal, but you won't find wisdom that way. You'll not be able to buy it with gold or all the money you have in the bank. If you have an attitude of reverence from God, for his holiness, for his greatness, for his grace, if you're devoted to him, and you show that by shunning evil, then indeed you know wisdom. You'll receive wisdom from him. And especially he will impart that wisdom to you as you meditate upon his word and dwell upon his word of truth. There's a very striking statement made, isn't there, in the New Testament about the Holy Scriptures and how they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God speaks to us. He gives us his wisdom. Wisdom for salvation. Wisdom for living. Wisdom to please him. Through his word of wisdom. Through his word of truth. So I want you to take away especially just the closing words of the chapter. Think about them. Apply them to yourself. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Here's for you to ponder. Is there evidence that you fear the Lord because you are shunning evil? May indeed there be plenty of evidence, even in your life, in the coming week. Amen. We're going to sing this psalm now that I referred to in the course of the message. Psalm 111 it is. And we're singing the first three stanzas and then the last three stanzas. And note the words of verse 9. The one who fears the Lord has learnt the first of wisdom's ways. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Those who obey, here's the opposite again, like of shunning evil, it's obeying, doing what God wants us to do. Those who obey well understand. Forever lasts his praise. Psalm 111, singing these verses before us. And